Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. As an adult of a certain age, I have aging parents, and I am so, so grateful to still have them alive and mostly well, but there's work involved in their care, and I'm one of six kids. Luckily, we get along, we all do our part, and our parents are grateful, but not everyone has immediate family around them, or any family, and that can be lonely, it can make care difficult, but it can also be a real challenge when it comes to tasks like managing personal finances. So, what can Canadians do if they are aging alone, or if they're so-called kinless? For more on this, we're joined by Laura Tamblyn-Watts. She is the founder and CEO of CanAge, Canada's national senior advocacy organization. Hello there.
Hello.
I don't like the term, but I think we should define it. What does it mean to be a kinless senior? I don't even know why I don't like it. It just sounds...
I don't really like it either. But when we're talking about a kinless senior, we're talking about somebody who really has nobody in the world, no relationships. And that's maybe why I don't like the idea of kin, because really now we always think of friendships as well. So I think of it as solo seniors, or sometimes we talk about elder orphans.
Right, right. And there can be so many different circumstances that those folks find themselves in, because you could be someone without any family, but you've got this amazing cohort of people who are 10 years your junior who have totally got it all handled, and you could be someone who does not. Still, there are challenges for folks. Can you give us some examples for what kinless seniors may face when it comes to their finances?
We still have very traditional ideas of the family, and even though, of course, in many other ways, we have more expansive ideas, when it comes to things like money, we go back to 18th and 19th century ideas. And there is a sense that if you can't pay for things, your kids should pay for. And actually, to be fair, that is what happens with a lot of older people. If they can't afford things, often family kick in. If you're also trying to think ahead and make decisions for who you would appoint as an attorney or power of attorney, if you can no longer make a financial decision yourself, again, typically we usually pick family, sometimes friends, but if you don't have anybody, it can be very difficult and people don't know what options they have.
Let's talk about some of those options. So power of attorney, there are two types, one for personal care, for health stuff, the other for financial matters. What do they do on the financial front if they don't have someone to name?
The only real good news on this is that you can pay for a trust company. So if you think about a large financial institution, there's usually a trust company wing about it. And you can have that organization or company make your financial decisions. Most people don't do that. In fact, it's quite rare. Overwhelmingly, it's family or possibly friends. But if you don't have anyone close to you, it can be very, very difficult to figure out how decisions are going to be made financially.
In the US, there is something called a daily money manager. It's got some accreditation and it's, you know, basically a person who can do everyday banking and ensure that your cell phone bill gets paid, that sort of thing. Who can take on those sorts of tasks here in Canada? It's not a family member.
So first, it's harder to do in Canada than the US because we don't really have that daily money manager. If you find somebody who's willing to do it, you can, and you're mentally capable of being able to do so, I should make that point, you can appoint them to be your power of attorney for property, and they are going to stand into your shoes. But lots of people don't want to do that, or you've got nobody to do it at all. If you only have a government pension, and so this is for the proportion of people who are quite low income, if you only have a government pension, you can arrange that the government pension go directly to pay some of your bills. But again, that's rarely done. Otherwise, you're pretty much stuck. Some people will make decisions, which I don't love, to put things into joint account. That, however, transfers ownership So it's not just someone being able to pay your bills. They actually own the money too.
Right. My mom is in assisted care. She's, you know, stable. She has Parkinson's though, and is dealing with, you know, how that those chapters are lining up for her. She would not be able to manage her money. What steps would you advise those, air quotes, kinless seniors to take while they have their cognitive ability, and whether they've got a diagnosis like Parkinson's, you know, or Alzheimer's, or any of the many things that could lead to cognitive decline, or whether they're perfectly healthy, they're like got all their marbles, they're rocking and rolling?
So there's two kinds of folks here. There's the folks who don't have any close relationships at all. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's not that they just don't have any family. They actually just don't have anybody at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. And for those people, I do think exploring having a trust company make the decisions for you is a really good idea. The good news is it doesn't cost any more than if it was having somebody else be your attorney, because the fee is set by the legislation. And it's also good for people who don't want to think about trying to choose somebody and, you know, whether or not they may be overly tempted to do something with your money. It's a safe bet to do. For the people who have some relationships, but they're not ones that are ideal, you can appoint an attorney pursuant to a power of attorney while you're still mentally capable. And you could have a monitor. Again, this is getting complicated and most people don't do it. So you can have somebody else oversee keeping an eye on it. But this is a rarity.
It would seem like there is a higher level of risk of fraud for someone who doesn't have people around them, insofar as, like, you know, people looking at bank statements and looking at email and those sorts of things. What are the watchouts for the seniors themselves to reduce the risk of fraud?
We have a couple of archetypes, and the reason why they're archetypes is because they're so common. So if you are a kinless person or you're a solo senior and you get what I call the new best friend. So this is somebody who's identified you, maybe they've met you at a faith community or just, you know, seen you struggling, and they've helped themselves to your life. So they may end up giving you help around the house and then end up maybe moving into your house, and then they will try to get you to sign a power of attorney. It's very, very common. Mm-hmm. So watch out for the new best friend. Watch out for somebody who is helping you with passwords, because for many people, or particularly older people who are not as comfortable with internet banking and other types of cards and so forth, having somebody with your passwords or access to your cards and they don't show you things, that should be a red flag. And last, if you are finding that somebody is interrupting the flow of information between you and somebody who you'd be talking to, an investment advisor, a bank, something like that, be really cautious.
Very, very helpful perspective, Laura. Thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you.
Laura Tamlin-Watts is the founder and CEO of CanAge, Canada's national senior advocacy organization. And she was here to talk about some of the financial implications of being a, quote, kinless senior.